Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Cynthia, for that. It is Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for the story there. Can you hear me if I don't use the microphone?
Yeah.
Probably not. I'll try to stick around the microphone. I'm not used to it. We used to have those headworn mics so I could just walk all over the stage and go wherever I want. I don't think I used to have me stuck here, but that's all right. All right, we'll try this. No, that's all right. I got to have my hands free. She said I could take this off the stand, but I got to have my hands free. If you know me, you don't talk with my hands. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being here in this room for a church service. I know it's a little different, and I know it causes a little bit of issue with sound and people running around. I understand all that, but we're a family. If you are here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are part of the family. Whether you're a regular person here or first-time visitor, you are a part of God's family. And, you know, family get-togethers get loud, do they not? Or at least my family get-togethers, they get loud, right? And that's okay, because we're here to celebrate Jesus. And I'm going to be in Luke chapter 24 here in just a moment. And I want to read for you the story of two men. We're going to talk about their journey to discovery of the resurrected Savior. But if you're like me, you've had times in your life where you've been discouraged. If you're like me, you've had times where you've been disappointed. Things didn't turn out the way you thought they were going to turn out. If you're like me, you've had plans, and those plans have fallen apart. You've had times where you're like, this doesn't make sense, and I can't see the future in front of me. Where you can't see clearly what's going on. And even for Christians, there are times where we're like, God, I don't understand what you're doing. And if you're like me, I don't know what you want from me, God. I don't know what's going on, God. And even as Christians, we have times where we struggle because this world is broken. And in this broken world, it can get difficult, can it not? And sometimes, excuse me, and if we're really being honest, truly honest, there's times where we've said, God, do you really love me? And we wonder about God's love. And we wonder, God, do you really have a plan? Because it doesn't look like it's working out too good right now. And if you're like me, we all struggle with those moments. And we all struggle with those times. But you're not alone if you've had those thoughts. You're not alone when you've had those dark days and you just don't know if it's worth it to go on. You're not alone because we all go through that in our journey in this life. And as we look in Luke chapter 24, we're going to see two men. One of them's name is Cleopas. We don't know the name of the other man, but it doesn't matter. Their journey is our journey. And this is the day of the resurrection. This is that first Sunday. And on that first Sunday, just like the other followers, the other apostles, they had expectations that were crushed on Crucifixion Friday. When Jesus died, their hopes died. Their dreams died. The things they thought were going to take place died. And Friday night, I imagine they didn't sleep well. And all day Saturday was a dark day because Jesus was dead. But they still got up on Sunday morning and they met with the apostles and with Jesus' closest followers. And they were there when the women came back and said, we went to the tomb, but the tomb is empty. And they saw Peter and John leave and go check it out because it's like, wait a minute, what's going on? Peter and John leave, and Peter and John go, and they discover the tomb is empty. And they heard the women say, well, angels visited us. But somewhere between that event and this event, they left Jerusalem. Because shortly after they left Jerusalem, Jesus showed up. They missed Jesus showing up because they left too soon. But that's okay. Jesus came after them. And we call this the road to Emmaus. Emmaus is a town outside of Jerusalem, about 7 miles. We're not exactly sure where it's located. So it's probably a 2-hour walk, maybe a little longer with dusty roads, depending on how tired you are. And this is what Luke has to tell us about this story. Luke says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with him. But they were kept from recognizing him. And I find that fascinating. They were kept from recognizing him. The scriptures indicate it wasn't that they didn't recognize him, because in his resurrected body, he looked a little different. We don't know exactly how. He probably looked a little bit different. Plus, the last time they'd seen him was probably before the crucifixion, and now he's got the scars. But being kept from means that the Holy Spirit, God himself, kind of prevented them from recognizing Jesus right away. And I thought a lot about this. Why would he keep this from him? And the only reasonable explanation I can come up with, and this is just kind of my opinion, but it makes sense to me, is this. If you've ever not seen a friend for a long time, several years maybe, and you get together and you meet that friend for the first time in a long time, what happens? You're all excited, right? And the ladies start going, and they start screaming and all that kind of stuff, right? And there's all this excitement and emotion and commotion going on when you meet somebody you haven't seen in a long time. And if you're talking to each other, you really don't hear what each other's saying. Correct? I imagine if they saw Jesus all of a sudden appear in front of them, they're going to be excited, they're going to be shocked, they can't process. You and I are used to the resurrected Jesus. They had no hope that Jesus was alive. They thought he was dead. So I think the shock of seeing Jesus would have kept them from hearing what he had to say. And what Jesus had to say to them on that road to Emmaus was vitally important. And he wanted to make sure that they heard the words, that they just weren't excited about seeing him. So when he walks up to them, Jesus asks them. Jesus says, he asked them, "What are you guys discussing as you walk along?" They stood still. Remember, they stopped and looked at him like, "Really? You don't know?" One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they did not see Jesus." And so Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about?" And they're looking at him like he's, from another planet. "Really? You haven't heard about everything that's been going on all weekend long?" You probably experienced this. Those of you that don't watch football, you show up to work on Monday morning, and you don't know the score of the football game, the Super Bowl, and all your coworkers look at you like you got two heads, right? What? You don't know what's going on? And so they tell him, they look about Jesus, and they said he was a prophet. And he was a great preacher. And we thought he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. In other words, we thought he was the one who was going to be the king. We thought our king had come. And we thought he was going to overthrow Rome, and he was going to rule, and he was going to reign. But then all of a sudden, the chief priests, our leaders, they arrested him, and then they gave him to the Romans, and the Romans killed him. And now it's the third day, and some of his friends went to the tomb, and they said, "The tomb's empty. And we don't know what's going on." And Jesus looks at them and he says, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe the prophets and all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And he did with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And so Jesus says, and he said this so often to his apostles, when you read through the Gospels, Jesus will be teaching, and the apostles just don't quite get it, and you and I would be in the exact same way. And he's like, "Oh, you guys you're not getting it. Don't you understand that this was necessary for the Messiah, for the king to be crucified?" And then it says, while they're on their journey, He explains to them, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, in other words, going all the way back to Genesis. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So they would talk about the book of Moses. That would be, they considered it kind of one book. And then the prophets referred to the rest of the Old Testament scriptures. And so Jesus started to explain to them, beginning at the beginning with Moses, how that even in the Old Testament, even amidst all the prophecies of the king who was going to come and rule the world, he was going to have to be crucified. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I believe that he probably started with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Shortly after Adam and Eve had sinned, God made a promise to Adam and Eve that one day he was going to send a Savior that would restore the relationship between God and man. And Jesus walked them through on this journey all the way through the Old Testament to prove that the crucifixion was the plan that God had all along, even though they didn't know that that was the plan. And it is so amazing how that God told us before time what was going to happen. But how often, because we don't walk in faith, we don't see the things that God has before us. And as he's finishing up teaching them about the scriptures, it tells us this. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from his sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up, and listen to this, they returned at once to Jerusalem. They ran back 7 miles there that night. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." That's Peter. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So Jesus is getting ready to walk on past their village. But they invited him in to their home. They invited him in to break bread with them. In other words, they escalated the relationship. They wanted Jesus to stay with them. They wanted Jesus to be there with them. And it's amazing when they invited him into the home, that's when they recognized him for who he was. And this is so cool. They recognize, "Hey, it's Jesus," and poof, he's gone. Now, I don't know if it was like, you know, Star Trek, you know, where they start to shimmer and they start to do a little bit and they kind of dissipate like that. I don't think it was that way, but who knows? But he disappears. And they're just so excited. They're like, "I know we just walked 7 miles. And for me, walking 7 miles, I'd be done for several days." But they walked 7 miles and said, "We got to go back and tell everybody." And they ran back to Jerusalem to tell them all. But when they invited him into their home, that's when things began to change. Their hearts were burning inside of them as he talked to them from the Old Testament scriptures. Their hearts were stirred. It's like, there's something going on here. And God was calling them. God was speaking to them. God was moving in their hearts inside them. Just like when you and I read our scriptures, and we should read our Bibles every day. When you read the scriptures, God calls to you, and God speaks to you, and your heart begins to burn in with you. But it's not until you invite Jesus into your home that it makes the difference. How many times has God spoken to you in your heart, and then you just let Jesus keep on walking down the road? You didn't invite him in. How many times has Jesus spoken to you about a relationship that needs to be fixed? And he's told you this is what needs to happen. And rather than invite him into your relationship, you just let him walk on past. And then we wonder, well, how come he didn't get fixed? And Jesus is like, "I tried, but you wouldn't invite me in." See, God is humble. That's one of the amazing things. The Bible tells us God is humble. God will not go where he is not invited. God will not force himself on you. God will not force himself into your situation. God will call, he will plead, he will beg, he will invite, he will teach, but he will never force his way in. You will not see the resurrected Jesus power your life until you invite him into your life.
Amen.
And it starts with the first step of faith that you and I must take. When your heart burns within you, what do you do? Do you invite him in? Or do you say, make him walk? It's the invitation. Jesus, I need you in my life and I need you to move. Okay, and when we invite Jesus in, that's the moment where we say, all right, Jesus, you tell me what to do and I will do it. I know it's going to be hard. I know it might not be comfortable. I know it might upset somebody, but I'm going to do what you told me, Jesus. And when we obey the teachings of Jesus, we invite him into our lives. And when we do that, we see the power of the resurrected Jesus. When we don't invite him in, all we see are words on a paper that don't change lives. For someone here, maybe you've never invited Jesus into your life for the first time. Maybe you've never had that moment of salvation. Everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not
perish,
but have
everlasting life.
Oh, it's such an amazing verse. Sometimes I think people think that's the only verse in John chapter 3. There's a lot of verses in John chapter 3, and they are every one powerful. You should really dive into John chapter 3 and make that part of your life. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. Nicodemus, in case you don't know, Nicodemus was the leading teacher of the Old Testament in all of Israel. He was the smartest of the smartest. And he still was confused about eternal life. And Jesus told Nicodemus privately, he said, listen, if you want to get into heaven, or if you want to enter the kingdom of God, is how he phrased it, if you want to have a relationship with God, you must be born again. We all know what it's like to be born physically. And we didn't have a choice in that. We just showed up. One day we were here. But just like you have to be born physically, in order to enter into God's presence, God is spirit. And those that worship God must worship him in spirit. In order to enter eternally into the presence of God, you must be born spiritually. That is what Jesus said. You must be born again. The cross paid for your sins and my sins and the sins of the entire world. But that doesn't mean it's effective for everybody. It is only effective for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. For those who reject Jesus, the cross is of no good. And if you've never accepted Jesus, it's not hard. It's not complicated. Paul tells us in Romans 10 that if we confess our sins, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That all it takes is a confession to God that, God, I know I'm a sinner. And we're all sinners. We know this. Being a sinner simply means I broke some rules. And I broke God's rules first and foremost. And we've all broken God's rules. Goodness, I break my own rules sometimes. We're all rule breakers. We confess that to God. And he says, the Lord Jesus. That simply means when Lord is master. When you confess that Jesus is Lord, you are committing to following his teachings. Jesus, I want you in my life. In order to have you in my life, I understand I got to obey your teachings. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And when you believe in your heart, to believe something in your heart biblically means that it's something that you believe in so strongly that it changes your behavior. You believe in your heart that Jesus is resurrected. You say a prayer confessing your sins before God. Invite Jesus into your home. Invite Jesus into your life. Commit to follow him. That tells us at that moment, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, will enter you and you will be transformed. Doesn't make you perfect. Doesn't make this life perfect. Goodness knows it makes this life harder sometimes. But God himself will be with you every step of the way, just like he was with those on the road to Emmaus every step. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that today is that day. That you can say a simple prayer. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. I know that there's no works that I can do that can overcome the sin, come into my life and save me. Something as simple as that transforms you. And if you want to do that today, I'll be happy to meet with you and share with you and talk with you. But you know, even for Christians, we all struggle sometimes because we let Jesus just keep walking down the road and we don't invite him into our lives. As a Christian, maybe you've been away from church for a long time. Maybe it's time to get back into church. Maybe God is calling you back to your faith. Maybe God is speaking to you today and your heart is burning within you. Don't let your heart just burn for a few moments and then go away. Invite Jesus into whatever he's calling you to today. Jesus promised that you and I would have eternal life with God in heaven if we accepted his Savior. But even more than that, Jesus promised you not just eternal life that starts somewhere in the future. Jesus promised you an abundant life here and now today. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I came so that you will have life and you will have it more abundantly. That even through the trials and the struggles of life, God has promised to make your life so much more than you can imagine. If you would invite him in. My friend, because of the resurrection, prodigal children can come home. Because of the resurrection, broken marriages can be made new. Because of the resurrection, alcoholics can get sober. Because of the resurrection, addicts can get free from their addiction and their chains. Because of the resurrection, those men who struggle with pornography can defeat that evil. And they can be set free from that. Because of the resurrection, friendships can be restored. Because of the resurrection, churches can be revitalized. Hope can be found for anyone and for everyone who will invite Jesus into their life. Anyone who says, I want to follow Jesus can find new life. You can be resurrected. The scriptures tell us that before we met Jesus, we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. That you and I, when we were born physically alive, we were born spiritually dead. That's because Adam and Eve sinned and they cast us all into being born sinners. We were born dead. But because of the resurrection, you and I can now be made alive and we can have a new life in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus called our name and we said yes to Jesus, we came out of a grave and we were resurrected. We're going to sing one last song. It's kind of new for us here, but it's called Glorious Day. And it talks about coming out of that grave. And you'll catch on quick. And when we get to that, out of that grave part, let's shout it out good and loud. Let's all stand. We'll have a word of prayer and then we will close with this song. Because of the resurrection, we can walk out of this room with hope of eternal life. Lord, I pray for someone here who has never made a decision to accept you, that today will be the day. Lord, I pray if there's a Christian here who has been away from their faith, that today is the day they recommit to following you and being faithful to you. Oh, Jesus Christ, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you that when you called our name, we came out of the grave. We have been raised to newness of life. And we can celebrate, and we will celebrate for all eternity. We thank you, Jesus, that you are risen. And all God's people say,
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oops, I need my ears.
It was my dream.
me about anything, I'll stick around as long as this. I love you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Go with God this week. You are the best.